Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last week, the state released its third Irene recovery status report. Nearly 20 months after the storm swept through Vermont, much of the work of recovery has been completed. In fact, the state no longer has an Irene recovery officer. That work has been taken over by Ben Rose. He's the Recovery and Mitigation Section Chief for the Vermont Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security. And he joins us now to explain what's still left to be done and how the state is preparing for future disasters. Ben Rose, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you, Jane.
Now, over 7,000 homeowners registered damages with FEMA after Tropical Storm Irene. How many of those people have been granted assistance?
Well, a lot of them, most of them. We have 684 cases that were opened with our disaster case management program, and of those, only about 266 remain.
What's the gap there? That's what I find so confusing in this report. I mean, you just mentioned 684 cases that were opened with the state. But if there were 7,000 homeowners who registered damages, can you just explain where that gap is?
Well, a lot of people received individual assistance grants from FEMA and then didn't require additional support.
So it's only the ones that required extra support that the state has had to deal with by intervening and helping out.
Right. The big picture here is that we're sort of at the 90-10 mark, where 90% of the recovery has gone really well in most of the programs. And there are notable exceptions. And, of course, for the folks who are still needing support in the communities that are still rebuilding, it's still very, very immediate and very painful. But a lot of people have moved on with their lives, and we're down to some really challenging cases.
You actually write about that a little bit in the report. You say that most people, and we're talking now about homeowners and individuals, that most people are back in clean, safe housing. But that means that some still aren't. Where are they living and how many are there?
Right. Well, there's a detailed breakdown on the remaining cases. And about 67 need construction support. About 59 require some type of volunteer support, debris removal and things like that. There are 47 that are still needing additional assistance. There are some home buyouts in that list. So we've broken the remaining cases into various categories.
Let me ask you about some of those cases. So you say you still have 277 open cases with disaster management in Vermont. 47 haven't been assessed yet. And the goal that you state in this report is to close 90% of those 277 remaining open cases, to close 90% of those by August. How are you going to make that happen?
Well, there are teams of people all over the state continuing to work very hard. We have construction coordinators, volunteer coordinators, and the long-term recovery committees. We have the Vermont Disaster Relief Fund. We have our existing state agencies. And part of the story of Vermont's recovery from Irene has been how different agencies have worked together and stepped up to create a network that's responding to the individual needs.
So you think it's entirely possible to get most of those cases closed in the next couple of months?
I think that the remainder of the recovery is going to be along the same lines as what has happened today, which is that Vermont state government is committed to doing everything we possibly can to maximize the federal programs and to respond creatively and on an individual basis.
Let me ask you just briefly, just so I don't leave them hanging there. I mentioned that 47 cases haven't been assessed at all yet. Why not? Are they new? Have they just come in, or are they more complicated? I mean, what's
yes,
making that
yes.
47?
We still have new cases coming in. I mean, we're still finding things out at this late date. You know, there are people who thought they were okay, and they're discovering they're not, or there's mold in the second year. There have been some tough stories.
There was also over $1 million given to people whose mobile homes were destroyed in Irene. And that program to condemn destroyed mobile homes actually wrapped up in December. there were a lot of different agencies involved in that project. It seemed like it was actually very difficult to condemn destroyed mobile homes. Why?
Well, we didn't have a lot of experience doing it. We discovered that the governor could issue a condemnation letter, which in fact allowed FEMA to reopen a lot of those cases. And so 130 letters were issued for mobile homes after the fact.
I want to ask you, because there's a lot to get to in this report, and I want to ask you some of the positives and what we're learning. But let me ask you a couple other details that are in the report, first of all. I want to ask about home buyouts, because the FEMA Hazard Mitigation Grant Program that provides 75% of the cost to buy out eligible damaged homes, that program, 87, 90 have been approved, and only three homes have so far been actually bought out. Why is that happening so slow?
Five submitted.
Yeah, so what makes that so slow? I mean, obviously, for the people who are actually involved in that, that's agonizingly
Absolutely.
Slow.
Absolutely. It's very difficult and requires a lot of tenacity and a lot of patience for the people who are trying to get their buyouts. The buyout program comes with a lot of rules, and you know, FEMA doesn't just give away this money. There's a lot of documentation required, and we're having to basically take people through a process that is much more complicated than a routine real estate closing.
So do you have a timeline for all of those other homes?
There is a spreadsheet. I don't have it open on my screen. But
there is a timeline that you're working towards, and you are committed to working with those families still.
Right, and we don't have entire control of all the steps in the process. You know, we submit information to FEMA, and FEMA reviews it.
Let me ask you another question about FEMA then, because again, the state has only so much control, and there's a $15 million shortfall on FEMA reimbursement for about half a dozen municipal projects, and that includes debris removal, a few roads and culverts.
Well, I would say it's more like three dozen.
Three dozen municipal projects.
Right.
Okay, so where are the funding gaps, and how do you plan to fill them?
Okay, well, it's case by case at this point, and again, to zoom out a little bit, FEMA's done a remarkable job in Vermont, and again, it's the 90-10 thing. There were 3,300 damaged sites that resulted in project worksheets, and we're down to working on maybe under 200 of them with FEMA, which means that most of the project worksheets went well, and FEMA isn't a faceless bureaucracy. It's individual people who are living out of hotel rooms far from their families, and some of them have been in Vermont for 2 years. I mean, it was we're almost at the 2-year anniversary of the first spring 2011 storms, and so FEMA has had a presence in Vermont ever since. And what we've gotten so far for Irene is $143 million of public assistance funding at 90% federal share. So you can say, what a great country. Overall, Irene was a $750 million hit on Vermont. And through various programs, the federal government has come in with something like $500 million. So overall, it's working. But against that $143 million of public assistance grants, we've identified about $15 million of municipal cost that has not been deemed eligible by FEMA. And is spread among about three dozen projects. A lot of them relate to culverts that were rebuilt in a more resilient way, and we're still going back and forth with FEMA on what will be eligible. The big ticket items are debris in three towns in particular, Bennington, Rockingham, and Woodford. We're still waiting for new versions of project worksheets related to debris cleanup, and that's over $5 million of gap. There are some individual projects. The upper Cold River Road in Shrewsbury, Broadbrook Road in Windsor. These are 6-7-figure issues that are still in play, and we're going back and forth with FEMA, and engineers are talking to engineers. There are a few town halls. There are some bridge projects where FEMA hasn't agreed to fund the full cost of the work for various reasons. So we're getting down to these individual cases that we have to work through with FEMA.
Ben Rose, I want to ask you, because a lot of what you're doing in this report is trying to help the state look ahead to how can we do this better in future disasters? How can we be prepared? You know, we've had this test case now. Mm-hmm. So if Irene happened today, can you identify one major thing that would be different about the state's response?
Oh, there are several things. The first thing is that we would have all the learning from Irene. We would all be further up the learning curve in terms of the incident command structure, in terms of roles and responsibilities for different agencies. And the one thing that we can be sure is that the next disaster won't be Irene, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We're ready for Irene now. But if the same storm were to hit again, we would probably do significantly better just in terms of our infrastructure, because approximately two-thirds of the damaged facilities that have been rebuilt or are being rebuilt from Irene are getting rebuilt in a more resilient way. That is to say, little pipe culverts being replaced with bottomless culverts, box culverts that will stand up better and less likely to clog with debris. The buyouts mean there's less personal property in the floodplains.
So I guess it's just that extra third of the roads that we would have to deal with if we had another storm hit.
Well, that's right. We're always going to have damage from storms. We'll never be 100% hardened, or it's unlikely. But there's no question that the infrastructure coming out of Irene will be better able to withstand a storm. And to get a more precise answer, we need to know, was that the 100-year storm, the 200-year storm, the 250-year storm? Will the next storm be the 27-year storm or the 43-year storm?
Oh. You know? Well, let's hope we don't have to figure that out quite yet, but I appreciate that the state is looking at figuring out what would happen in the next storm. Ben Rose is key to that. He's the Recovery and Mitigation Chief for the Vermont Division of Emergency Management. He's been telling us about this Irene Recovery Status Report. We have a link to it at vpr.net. Ben, thank you very much.
Jane, thank you for the opportunity.